breathe on us breath of God. Lord, we want to know you better, to know your fullness, to submit our wills to yours. So help us now, Lord, as I speak and we listen. Amen. Thank you, Adam and team, for leading us in that. We're doing a series at the moment on prayer, and this is not part of the series. So this is a week that's different, and there was nothing set for today. And I wanted to try and find something that covered both the theme of the Queen and the Jubilee, but also Pentecost and the giving of God's Spirit. And I've come up with one little word, and it's the word anointing. The word anointing. And we're going to do a little bit of a word study on this very rapidly. I was quite interested that watching some of the coverage on television over the last couple of days, there's been quite an emphasis on the fact that the Queen was anointed at her coronation 69 years ago. And I think for many people, and probably for many of us, that's actually a bit weird. Doesn't it hark back to the divine right of kings, a concept that surely we paid to at the Civil War 400 years ago? What's going on in this thought of the Queen being anointed? Is it a bit of sort of mumbo jumbo that is really pretty meaningless? And in the church, or certainly in certain circles in the church, we sometimes talk of people having an anointed ministry. We might mean an evangelist who, when he speaks, lots of people seem to come to Christ. Or somebody with a healing ministry. When he prays, people have remarkable experiences of healing. We say that person has an anointed ministry. Let's go back to the Bible and see what it says. The first thing is at the beginning of the beginning of the Old Testament, particularly in those books of Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, the focus is on the tabernacle of God. That's the tent which was the center of worship that was started when they were in the desert after the Exodus. And it's the priests who were anointed at their consecration. They were set apart for the particular service of God in the tabernacle. It wasn't only the priests themselves. It wasn't only the people. It was some of the furnishings, some of the equipment, spoons and fartongs and tables and things like that were also anointed with oil. Then, as you move on through the Old Testament, the focus becomes on the kings, that people are anointed king. It was so for Saul, it was so for David, it was so for Solomon. And it becomes so much so that in many parts of the Psalms and the prophets, they don't use the word king, they use the word the Lord's anointed. The Lord's anointed is the one who is the rightful king in David's line. But it's not only, just as a little side issue, it's not only the kings in David's line. David continues to call Saul the Lord's anointed, even after we're told that God has rejected Saul from being king. He is still the Lord's anointed. Hard to get our head around that, but that's what it says. There are also one or two very interesting things. Hazael is a king of Aram. He's anointed. Elisha anoints him to be king of Aram. There's a reference to a nameless king of Tyre who is described as the Lord's anointed. And more better known than that is Cyrus, who in the book of Isaiah, Cyrus is the king of Persia. And he is described also as being my anointed one. So too, well, actually not as the Lord's anointed, but there's a very little interesting reference to Absalom. You remember Absalom was the son of David who led a rebellion against his father. And there's a little reference from the people after Absalom is defeated. And it says, we anointed him king. Was he the Lord's anointed? I don't think so. But the people anointed, the people who were in rebellion against David, anointed Absalom to be king. I'm sorry if that some of that writing is too small there. What happens when we come to the New Testament? Well, the first thing to say is there are not actually many references, many uses of the word anointing in the New Testament. There's half a dozen or so. Some are the story of Jesus being anointed with oil by the woman who then bathed his feet with her tears and washed and dried them with her hair. And Jesus takes that and saying, she's anointed me for my burial. So the description there was oil, it was a real anointing with real oil or perfume. And Jesus takes it symbolically and saying, actually, she's doing something prophetic. She may not know it, but it's about me and my burial. And also a literal use of oil is a couple of times we're told about the connection between oil and healing. There's once in the Gospels that Jesus sends out the 12 and they go around and they heal people and anoint them with olive oil. And in James, we're told that if anyone's sick, they can ask for anointing with oil. But it's also used, the word anointing, it becomes a symbolic use. So there's no real oil, physical oil that's used, but we're told that Jesus is anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. We're told that in the book of Acts. And in the reading that we had there, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus quoting Isaiah, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. There's this sense of a special enduing of the Holy Spirit for a particular ministry, a particular purpose. And there's a lovely, the last thing I'm going to refer to is a lovely little verse that comes in the book of Hebrews. And it says that God has anointed you with the oil of joy. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? And I think there's something just to remember about that, because sometimes we can get a little bit intense. But God has anointed us with the oil of joy. Now, if we try to summarize what's going on in all these different references, I think there are two main things. The first is, and it's particularly the Old Testament, so whether it's the priests or whether it's the kings, it is particular people who are chosen and set apart for a particular purpose. And this is where the anointing at the Queen's coronation comes in. We as a nation, well, it wasn't us, was it? It was our grandparents, I suppose, isn't it, years ago, chose one person out of the whole population of the country or the whole population of the Commonwealth. Now, it may have been because of her birth, but it wasn't because she was particularly bright or intelligent or remarkable in any way. It was an accident of birth. We chose her, and we said, we are setting this one person apart to be our queen for as long as she lives. And we're going to mark that at the coronation by anointing her with oil. Now, one of the things I think that we as Christian people have been rejoicing over in the last 3 or 4 days, and it has been really heavily emphasized on the television coverage too, is her Christian faith. But I want you to think for a moment, what would we think, actually, if she'd been like some of her ancestors, not living a very godly life, not making any pretense, or perhaps only making a pretense of being a Christian believer. Those kings who've preceded her were also anointed with oil. And I want you to see here that what the anointing is not magical. It doesn't make somebody dedicated. But it's a mark of a seriousness of purpose. And it's a mark that comes from the people, as it were, represented in a coronation service by the church, saying, we are serious about this. Are you? And the glorious thing is that in the queen that we have, she has taken that extraordinarily seriously. And we praise God and we thank God for that. Beyond the business of being chosen and set apart, there is this New Testament idea, it's not major in the New Testament, of being empowered and bringing particular blessing. And so there could be the anointing with oil at a commissioning for some person in a new ministry or a new role. It could be that there is anointing with oil that accompanies prayer for healing. It could be, echoing that thing from Hebrews, anointing with oil because I want somebody, perhaps they're a bit low, to know the joy of Christ. And again, it's just like the one that we were referring to earlier. This is not magic. It isn't automatically conveying an extra blessing or an extra layer of blessing. But it can be a mark of the seriousness with which we are approaching God in prayer. Some of us in preparing for today were wondering whether there ought to be some kind of ministry of anointing offered at the end of this service. And the conclusion was no. And the reasoning for that, I think, is twofold. One is the idea that does come out, particularly in that passage in James chapter 5, that it needs to be asked for. It's not just something that's done quickly and easily, but it's something. And if there is somebody who says, "Well, actually, God has laid it on my heart. I want a token of the seriousness of my prayer to be that somebody comes and anoints me," then whether it's for healing or for joy or for some new avenue, some new purpose, something specific, then that is something. Ask the leadership team. And the other reason is the focus here is thanksgiving, and remembering that some of this anointing is not physically with oil at all, but it's what God has done for us. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. No oil involved. God has anointed us with joy in him. He's anointed us in many different ways. And the tone of today, thanksgiving. Thanks be to God for all that he has done for us in nation and in us as individuals and us as a church. We praise him for that. We're going to sing now. It is a hymn of thanksgiving. Then I'm going to pray a quick prayer. And then David is going to come up and give us the excitement of whatever is next.